Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using some of the most powerful cards in Magic's history. And today, we're going to try to answer the big question. The question that I see asked a lot on many different servers, many different posts on Twitter, many emails, all over the place, really. What makes a deck CEDH? As usual, I don't think we can dive directly into answering this question right away, but instead, we should try to first define what is CEDH? What is the philosophy of the metagame? And I'm going to quote an excellent resource, CEDH.guide. The philosophy of CEDH can be summarized as to make only the plays that increase your chance of winning. This means that no win conditions are out of bounds. If a card is legal in Commander, it is fair game, even if it may be an unpopular card or a salt-inducing card. Even if you personally think that Thassa's Oracle is a boring card to use as a win condition, it is still an incredibly efficient, incredibly low surface area win condition. So you can and should be ready to combat opponents who are leaning on that as their win condition. It's not a metagame which shuns counterspells, or stacks pieces, or removal spells. Anything allowed within the rules of the format of Commander is fair game. To quote CEDH.guide again, CEDH is Commander, but very spicy. Since everyone is playing to win, there's often a lot of thought given as to what is the right play. And a lot of times, your opponents want to help you because they want to see the best possible game of Commander played in front of them. They want to play with the most powerful cards available, and they want to see how far they can push this format. Proxies and playtest cards are not just welcome, they are encouraged. Once again, the philosophy of CEDH is to make only the plays that increase your chance of winning, and that informs card selection to a huge degree, as you only want to include cards which directly increase your chance of winning. So what kind of cards go into a CEDH deck? What does a CEDH deck look like? It starts with having lots and lots of interaction. While CEDH games are all about trying to win, you still do have to respect that faster deck that's sitting at the table. Even if you have a plan to win the game on turn 4, it does you no good when Cody or Rog Silas are threatening turn 2 wins consistently. So the proper decision is to run lots and lots of interaction, which you can have ready to interact with those faster decks, often as soon as by turn 1. Even decks which you might not typically associate with being highly interactive tend to run more interaction than most casual decks. Rog Silas Turbo Gnaws, for instance, is trying to win the game as fast as is possible, but it still runs a whopping 17 pieces of interaction, and the Gitrog Monster, a dedicated combo deck without any blue, still runs 11 pieces of interaction, two of which can interact with the stack directly and has many potent stacks effects. The average in CEDH is about 19 to 20 pieces of interaction per deck, and you can see upwards of 25% of a deck being dedicated to interacting with your opponents. This means that CEDH games are often spent interacting with your opponents, which is really core to the experience of Commander. It's rare that you can expect a spell to just resolve without people passing priority around the table and trying to analyze whether it's correct or not to interact with that spell. White's third most commonly played card is Silence, fourth is Ranger Captain of Eos, both of which can stop players from casting spells altogether. And Red's second most played card, before even Ragavan, or the all-star win condition Underworld Breach, is Deflecting Swat, a powerful way to change the target of a spell and often act as a pseudo-counterspell or a pseudo-stifle effect. Green's third most played card is Veil of Summer, a terror of 60 and 4 magic, which many people felt broke the color pie. That is how much interaction these decks are looking to pack. I mentioned turn 1 just a moment ago, which should suggest our next point. CEDH decks tend to favor the most efficient card selection wherever possible. As I say at the beginning of each of our lessons from CEDH, CEDH is a metagame with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. And you start to realize with what razor-thin margins CEDH players are counting on for their mana, being able to hold up a single mana to interact with your opponent's early plays is a lot easier to do while you're also trying to develop your own mana ramp and card advantage engines. This means that even powerful, versatile cards at more casual tables, all-stars like Beast Within and Anguished Unmaking, are hard to justify, as the mana margins in CDH are incredibly tight. Even cards that seem to be very powerful, because they're difficult to interact with, such as a card like Krosan Grip, which enjoys the protection of being split-second, 3 mana is just a lot to ask for an otherwise bog-standard disenchant effect. In general, free interaction is preferred in CDH whenever it is available, such as on cards like Force of Will or Deflecting Swat. But lots of 1-mana interaction spells like Swansong, Swords to Plowshares, and Red Elemental Blast are still quite favorable. Powerful 2-mana interaction like Abrupt Decay, Abrade, and even Mana Drain are included only after careful consideration, as the 2-mana cost can be a lot of mana to spare. It may mean holding up entire turns of development. The most played ramp spells in CDH are free mana rocks, and very few mana rocks are played which are not mana positive. Really, you'll see Felwar Stone, Arcane Signet, and sometimes the Talismans. And this makes sense, with the average mana value of a CDH deck clocking in around 1.40 according to CDH.guide. The gameplay advantage to this is that there are many fewer turns spent during the getting ready stage of the game. Usually by turn 2, most decks are all set up and they're ready to start making moves and having powerful interaction. If you find yourself getting bored of those early turns of Commander where it's land, go, land, ramp spell, go, you may want to consider giving CDH a try. The other part of that script for CDH decks is highly consistent. 7 out of the 10 most commonly played sorceries in all of CDH are tutors. 4 out of the 5 most played black cards are tutors. The second most played card in blue is Mystic Remora, and the second most played card in white is Esper Sentinel, powerful card draw engines. And of course, Ad Nauseam remains one of the most powerful virtual win conditions in CDH because of this density of card advantage, tutors, and all the zero-cost mana rocks, which enable it to act as a basically one-card win condition. This consistency may seem like a turnoff if you specifically prefer variety of gameplay experiences. But one of the advantages to CDH is that it is still a multiplayer game, and even the most consistent decks still have to navigate all of the interaction we've discussed so far in order to find their way to victory. You're not going to be playing against 3 goldfish. You're going to be playing against 3 smart, thinking opponents who are also trying to navigate their own way to victory. Quoting CDH.guide again, when shared by everyone at the table, this mindset of CDH creates puzzle-like commander games in which every decision is important and reasonable. CDH is commander, so players frequently discuss others' game plans and work together to stop win attempts. 20% of the average CDH deck is devoted to forms of card advantage, and some of the most powerful and prolific decks in the metagame have one or more card advantage engines in the command zone. There's a reason why Timna, Thrasios, and Krom are among the most played partners in the metagame. Finally, it's probably impossible to talk about CDH without talking about the win conditions. CDH decks tend to have very powerful, very reliable, and very difficult to stop win conditions. That's why win cons like Thassa's Oracle Demonic Consultation are so prolific. We did a whole episode on why that combo is so hard to stop. It's a win condition with an incredibly small surface area, either Counterspell Thoracle or Counterspell Consult. And it also has an incredibly short clock. 0 turns, you win on the spot if the combo resolves. In addition to Thoracle Consult, Underworld Breach forms a common line to victory, often combined with Lion's Eye Diamond, and one of a Wheel, Grinding Station, or Brain Freeze. Dramatic Reversal and Isochron Scepter forms a compact way to generate infinite mana off of mana rocks, and Ad Nauseam, as we've already discussed, provides you with an overwhelming number of cards in hand, which you can usually string together to provide you all the mana ramp, counterspells, and tutors you need to piece together your win without fear from the interaction your opponents may still have. CDH.guide is again a great place to learn some of the most common win conditions in CDH. If you're looking to try out your deck in CDH, these are the gold standards you need to measure your win condition by. You should be able to win the game on the spot. Or, you should be able to create such an overwhelming board state and advantage with so much inevitability that it's basically a sure thing and almost impossible to disrupt. This is where you may consider decks like Winota and Yuriko, decks which snowball out of control and are really hard to stop. Once Winota hits the battlefield and gets those attack triggers, it often creates so much board advantage that, short of a board wipe, there's almost nothing that can stop it. The board is then loaded up with stacksy creatures who can stop a number of other win conditions that players may use to try to get out from under Winota. And Yuriko acts as her own win condition, and is extremely difficult to keep off the board thanks to her Commander Ninjutsu ability, while also loading the deck with the interaction needed to stop opponents from winning while Yuriko's triggers are whittling their life totals down. If your win condition doesn't win on the spot, it should be incredibly hard to disrupt, and it should remain an efficient package. Two-card A plus B combos are about the most unwieldy combos you'd expect to run into during a game of CDH, and one-card win conditions are definitely preferred. So what exactly makes a CDH deck a CDH deck? Number one, CDH decks are highly interactive, 20% interaction on average. Even if they're not trying to win on turn 2 or turn 3, CDH decks need to be able to interact with those decks that are trying to win that early, and should be ready to do so. If you're running a significantly lower amount of interaction, you should be able to justify it by being a much faster deck, or as a trade-off because your specific deck gains additional efficiency or consistency, or an extremely powerful win condition, such as the Gitrog monster. Number two, CDH decks are highly consistent, 20% card advantage and tutors on average. This metagame values winning and assembling a specific game plan very quickly. Even the slower decks in the format still load up on card draw and tutors as much as their colors allow. Number three, CDH decks are highly efficient with an average mana value around 1.40. Most ramp is going to be 0 and 1 mana, and often will be mana positive. Most interaction, meanwhile, is going to cost 0 and 1 mana. Even interaction, which is powerful for its versatility at normal commander tables like Beast Within, is often just too expensive to justify in CDH. If you are running more expensive cards, you should have a plan to either draw the game out long enough to be able to cast those spells, or a way to play those spells without paying their cost. Number 4, CDH decks have very reliable win conditions. Most win cons have a clock of 0 turns and are difficult to stop without very specific answers. And even those with a longer clock, like Yuriko and Winota, have a degree of inevitability that is very hard to stop, and certainly don't give opponents very many turns to find a way out. They also pack disruptive elements to stop opponents from winning during that longer clock. If you can't point to a clear game plan to act as your win condition, you likely need to rethink your choice of deck. CDH is not a closed community, and if you're interested in trying it out, the CDH Decklist Database and CDH.Guide are excellent starting points. There's also CDH University, run by the folks at Eminence Gaming, which acts as a Discord server to help interested players get started in the metagame. And if your heart is set on making your particular deck work in CDH, you need to be prepared to kill your darlings, making ruthless cuts to the deck list, and brutally replacing even your favorite cards with more efficient ones. Most CDH groups will be happy to see new decks come around and will be happy to let you bring them for a test drive. But if you find a deck isn't working, you should look to make some changes and respect the speed and interaction present in CDH pods. Do you have any decks you'd like to bring to a CDH table? We're always looking for new spicy brews. You can tell us about it on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG. Or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.